Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives. I was raised, or I came to faith at the end of the Charismatic movement. Toward the end of that. It was in the 70s. Charismatic movement began in the 60s. And so when I got back to the States after being saved and spirit-filled in Israel, I came into meetings which were wild. I mean wild. There was wild preaching. There were people would start to dance in the spirit. A lot of people fall out under the power of the spirit. There were instantaneous miracles. There was a lot of whooping, a lot of joy, a lot of praise going on. Now, it wasn't in all churches. These were primarily meetings that we would attend as a prophet would come through or a teacher or somebody would come in. And then some churches were like that as well, but you can't sustain that kind of, for a long time, that kind of emotion, that kind of, energy in the natural. But they were exciting meetings. I mean, they were exciting to hear the Word of God, and you'd see the gifts of the Spirit in operation. People would be called out of the crowd and prophesied over, and I mean, those things came to pass. It was wonderful and amazing. Now, we can't just live for faith like that. I love to have the big meetings. We used to go to camp meeting, out to Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting, 12,000 people in this arena. We'd go to camp meeting with Dr. Summerall. But we can't just live for camp meetings. We can't just live for special events where there's high energy and there's high emotion and high supernatural. Faith is every day. Every day we walk by faith. We don't just walk by faith when we need a miracle. We walk by faith for our daily needs to be supplied. Every day. So what we want to learn today is practical faith. How do we walk by faith? How do we have faith for the things that take place in our regular daily lives? Now, nobody's going to come up here when I say, okay, prayer requests, you're going to come up and I'm going to come lay hands on you and you're going to, and I always say, what would you like prayer for? My washing machine. Very few people are going to come up for their washing machine. Now, you may pray for your washing machine. I know Mylene's online with us. She has a history of laying hands on mechanical equipment in her home and things happening. I think if I remember correctly, even cast the devil out of one of your machines one time. And correct me if I'm wrong. You can correct it there, and Pastor Mary Beth will be sure to let me know I'm wrong. But joking. You tend to come up for the big things. You tend to believe God for the big things and ask for the big miracles. And yet, every day, we need to walk by practical faith. Now, look at this in Genesis 12. Verse 1, now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land where I'll show you. All right, that's big faith. Leave everything. Leave it all behind. Family, friends, house, possessions, everything. Whatever you can't take with you, leave it behind. That's big faith. And he says, and I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you, make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I'll bless them that curse you and curse them. That curses you. I'll bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you. I got confused because I heard a pastor just recently quoting that, but inserting believers instead of Israel. That promise is to Israel. And they were saying that this is for the church. And that's for Israel. So the Lord says, I'll bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's our part of it. That's the church part of it, the second part of it. All the families are blessed in them, through them. But that blessing and cursing is specifically to the nation of Israel. And Abram departed. Okay, so there's another major miracle there, that he was going to have children and be a nation, and that this blessing was going to be upon him. So we have three major miracles there. But look at this. Abram departed. Well, that means he took days to go to the promised land, to Canaan. Every day, he had to be walking by faith. I'm sure that along the way, he had his ups and his downs. He had to supply food, shelter, probably not clothing, they had that already, water. It was quite a journey he was taking, and he needed faith every single day. That is practical faith. Practical faith is having our small needs, daily needs supplied. When Jesus taught us to pray, didn't he say, give us this day our daily bread? That is practical faith. He's saying what we have need of today, no matter how big or how small, we bring it to God, we extend our faith for it, trusting him, and our needs daily are supplied. Now, Hebrews chapter 3 makes a reference, and that's why we're going to go to Hebrews and then back to the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 3, I'm going to begin in verse 15, and this has to do with Israel when they're, after they've come out of Egypt, and they're wandering through the desert, and they come to the promised land, and they refuse to go in because they're afraid. While it is said today, verse 15, did I say that? Hebrews 3, 15. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke. However, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. What does that mean to provoke? It means they didn't believe God. If you hear his voice, believe God. If you hear his voice, believe God. Don't doubt the promise of God. Don't doubt the presence of God. Don't doubt the voice of the Lord. But with whom was he grieved? 40 years. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness, and to whom he swore that they would not enter into his rest, but them that believed not? You see, on a daily basis, they had to believe. Those that believed not were not able to enter into the promise. But it keeps going. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us, therefore, okay, let us, therefore, this is the example we have. Because of that example, let us, lest a promise being left of us, lest we lose any promise of God, lest we lose a daily promise of God, lest we lose a promise being entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. This is where it gets sticky. The word preached does not profit everybody, being mixed with faith in them who heard it. Not being mixed with faith. When you hear the word I'm speaking today, mix it with your faith. Every single day when you get a word from the Lord, you get a leading from God, you read something in the Word of God, it springs out to you. Mix it with your faith. Trust God, believe God, and take that step. Whatever you're facing each and every day, small things, medium things, big things, you step out by faith. You mix the Word of God with faith. That's why it's so important in the morning to get a word from the Lord. In the morning, open your Bible and let God speak to you by His Holy Spirit. Let Jesus direct and guide you by His Spirit. He says He shows us things to come. He guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit does that through the Word of God. Take time to pray in the morning so that you can seek Him and hear His voice for that day. Because we need faith every single day. We don't just go, you know, on our own, and then we hit some big issue, some mountain, and then we muster our faith. No, daily faith, practical faith for practical things in our practical lives. He doesn't expect us just to flounder around through life until we come to a mountain and then believe and trust and speak to that mountain. I'm going to go, before I go back to the Old Testament, I'm going to go to 2 Peter for a moment. And in 2 Peter, I'm going to go to chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to look at one verse. And that's verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. We know this, right? Exceeding great and precious promises. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, that part has always sort of escaped me, the divine nature of God. I know it's the presence of God. I know it's the promises of God. The divine, but there's nature. You often talk about somebody's nature. Oh, they're a good-natured person. They're a good-natured fellow. You're talking about something on the inside, something about their personality, something about their spirit. The divine nature is supernatural. It's God, the supernatural. So could it just be the Holy Spirit? We don't often refer to the Holy Spirit as the nature of God, but as the Spirit of God. So something a little bit different. And I've come to believe that this means, by partakers, it means a release of God's grace. God's nature is grace and mercy and love. God's nature, grace and mercy and love. And so he says that through the great and precious promises, we become partakers of something. Through his promises to us, we become partakers of something of his. I believe it's grace. Remember a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, I defined grace as bringing us to the place, bringing all those people across our path before we got saved. Grace of God, bringing people to tell us, bringing people to share with us. No matter how many people we blew off and said, no, no, we're not interested, he brought yet another one, and he brought another one. That's the grace of God. Until we got to that place where we accepted the love of God and we were born again. But grace. Grace flows through faith in his promises then. If you extrapolate from this, grace, the grace of God, flows through the promises of God. The grace of God. One day we might not have grace to go through something, but the next day we may, because we've grabbed a hold of the promise of God through the Word of God. If we don't know the promise of God for healing, we may not have the grace to go through trusting God and believing for healing. The grace of God flows through the promises of God. One thing that will keep us from the grace of God in this example, the problems of our life. If we are preoccupied with the problems of our lives, we will miss out on the grace of God because we will not be preoccupied with the promises of God. If we are focusing on the problems of life, we cannot focus on the promises of God. And the promises of God are what gets us through the problems of life. So it is a trick of the enemy to try to alter our focus and get us looking on the negative and looking on the issue and looking on the problem, looking on the breakdown, rather than looking on the blessing and looking on the breakthrough and looking on the increase and looking on the miraculous. So when we focus on the promises of God, we actually release the grace of God into our lives. How? We're partakers, just like the woman who touched the hem of his garment and released the power of God. Remember, Jesus did not send the power into her. He turned around to say, who touched me? Who? Because I felt power go out of me. The grace of God goes out of him as we touch him by focusing on the promises of God on a daily basis, daily basis. Now, let's look at this in a little bit more detail. Go to Joshua 23. Joshua 23. Joshua 23. And one of the things we want to do is create a daily environment of faith. A daily environment of faith. You all know, you online, you all here in person, you know that when you come into this building, whether electronically or personally, you know you are walking into an environment of faith, don't you? You know you are going to hear the Word of God. You're going to hear positive. You are going to hear you can do it. You're not going to hear you're filthy, rotten sinners, and there's no way you're going to get to heaven. You are going to hear the difference between heaven and hell. You are going to hear about walking by faith, walking in the Spirit. You are going to hear about being born again, how you're not going to see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. You are going to hear about the forgiveness and the love of God, but you are going to hear about moving mountains, answered prayer, and authority over the devil. You know you're going to get what you need to build you up spiritually to face the onslaughts of life victoriously. This is an atmosphere or an environment of faith. How do we preserve that? Because when the service is over, you walk out. When the service is over, you go face the rest of the things going on in your life. How do we do it? We create an environment of faith every day in our lives. A. I know. Did I give you any number ones yet today? I can't remember. I have a number one and a number two, but anyway, this is letter A. Remember the past. Now, we're going to see this in a few moments in Joshua. Remember the past. Remember what God has done. Has he ever let you down? Why do we talk about our miracles so much? Why do I mention my miraculous healing from cancer? It's been 15 years now. Why do I mention that? Why do every single day, why do I say those same two scriptures that God gave me when I was in the hospital bed? Why do I say those every day? I want to remember the past. I don't want to remember the mistakes the sin, the temptation, the failure. I don't remember that. I want to remember the presence of God, the blessing of God, the miracle of God, the power of God. I want to remember how he's faithful, how he's never left me, never forsaken me. He's not let me fall. He raised me up off a deathbed, praise God. I want to remember that. Remember answered prayer. Remember what he's done for you. Remember how he's always been there for you since you gave your life to the Lord. In fact, you might even want to remember what he did before you got saved. I remember all the people who came across my path. I blew them off, but he kept bringing others. He pursued me. He didn't let me go to the grave and hell. He's faithful. He loves us. So remember the past. B, release the grace of God for the present. Release the grace of God for the present. Grace does not mean, and a lot of people think grace means that whatever you do, and it's okay, you'll be forgiven because of God's grace. That is not grace. That is ignorance. Grace is God's presence, his love, that he will overlook sin when we repent. But that doesn't give us a license to sin, knowing he will forgive us once we repent. The grace of God also provides the environment for a miracle. Remember, believing, trusting the promises of God releases the grace of God for those promises. For those promises. So, release God's grace for your day. C, trust God for the future. Don't be in fear. You see, Israel could not trust God and enter into the promise. They had been provided for. They saw water come out. I don't think they had water out of rock yet. But they saw the bitter water made sweet. They saw his pillar of fire, pillar of smoke. They saw the sea part. They saw Amalek defeated. And yet, they couldn't trust God for their future. Oh, there's giants in the land. There's strong cities in the land. There's armies in the land. No way we can take it. They couldn't trust God for their future. Caleb and Joshua said, let's go take them. We're well able. We can do this. They trusted God for their future. So, A, remember the past. B, release God's grace for the present. C, trust God for the future. And that is your full circle of eternity, right? Past, present, future. Because he is, he was, he is to come. Now, in Joshua 23, this is when Joshua is getting ready to depart. Go to be with the Lord. He's an older man at that point. Much, much, much older than me. He's an older man. He's getting ready to depart. And he leaves some tidbits with Israel. Verse 4. You have seen all the Lord your God has done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that has fought for you. There it is. Remember. You've seen it. Remember what you've seen. Even if you haven't had some spectacular supernatural miracle in your life, remember those who have. You've seen him move in answer to prayer in people's lives. You've seen him provide. You've seen him change circumstances and situations. Trust God. Remember the Lord. That's the entire book of Deuteronomy. If you read through the book of Deuteronomy, there are two words that encapsulate that entire book. Remember and obey. Remember and obey. You'll see that over and over and over throughout the entire book of Deuteronomy. Remember and obey. So remember the Lord. Remember it's he that has given you good things in life. Remember it's he that has prepared a place. Remember it's he that has saved us from hell. Remember it's he that gave his only begotten son. It's he that loves us. It's he that heals us. It's he that hears and answers our prayer. It's his spirit that dwells within us. It's his power, his authority, his anointing upon us. There are probably countless times he's saved us that we're not even aware of. Things that he's done behind the scenes. Remember the Lord. Then, verse 6. Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside from the right or to the left. Keep the word of God. Jesus, or the New Testament puts it this way. If you are a doer of the word, Jesus said it in building a house on the sand or on the rock. If you're a doer of the word, there'll be an onslaught that comes on everybody. It's not just against us, it's against everybody. The wind blows, the waves rise and beat, but your house stands. 1,000 may fall at your side because they're built on the sand. They're not doing the word of God. But you that do the word of God, how do you do the word of God? You believe it, you speak it, you act upon it, you expect it. You believe it, you speak it, you act upon it, you accept it. You expect it. I'm sorry, expect the outcome. That's doing the word of God. and you will not fall. You will not fall. So he says, remember, keep the word. Number three, number seven, verse seven, that you come not among the nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention the name of other gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves down to them. Well, he says, we're not going to come among the people who aren't believers like us and believe what they're believing. We're not going to come among the people of the world and believe the garbage that they believe. Right now, you know, the majority of our population that is not saved believe a lot of garbage, a lot of things that are nonsensical. We're not going to believe those, and we're not going to bow down to those. We're not going to pay lip service to this. We're not going to pretend that it's okay. We're not going to pretend that we believe that. We're going to be different. Number three is tell others. We will tell them by who we are, that we have something stronger, something higher. Listen, when I was living with the Bedouin, after I was saved, I wasn't living with them, sorry. After I was saved, I was working with them. I lived in Jerusalem, because after I was saved and with the Bedouin, Pastor Ray Beth and I had already been married. We were living in Jerusalem, but I still worked down there every day with the Bedouin. They saw the change in me. They saw something different. And they would come to me and say, what is it? What is it about you? One of the changes was, in those days, Pastor Mary Beth and I used to fast every Friday. We would fast. We would drink water or juice or coffee. We'd have liquids, but we would not have solid food from evening Thursday until evening Friday, a 24-hour fast. We did that for probably 20-some years, even back here in the States. We would fast every Friday. And the Bedouin noticed that. And they said, we fast for the whole month of Ramadan. And you fast just one day. And I said, yes, but I fast one day 52 weeks out of the year. So I fast for 52 days and you fast for 30 days. That impressed them. That I fasted more than they did. And but they said, why? Do you want something from God? I said, I don't want something from God. I want to be something for God. And they had to really think about that. They had to think about that. They saw. And I thought, my ultimate breakthrough. Now, I have to confess, I never led any of them to Jesus. They did not accept him. But they did come to me and ask me to pray for them. That's a major breakthrough for a Muslim, to come and ask a believer to pray for them. And for things, not just for their well-being, but things. Because they are incapable of praying for things in Islam. They pray the same pre-prepared to Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, on and on. But they don't talk to God like we talk to God. So rather than become like them, rather than act like them, I acted like me and told them. My actions told them about God. Do our actions in our daily lives tell others about our relationship with the Lord? Does everybody recognize we are unlike others? We are not like everybody else. We don't do what everybody else does. Do people recognize that? That speaks volumes to the people around us. Then verse 8. But cleave unto the Lord your God as you have done unto this day. Stay close to God. Stay close to God. Every day, stay close to God. Don't just try to do it on your own and leave God in the dust. Don't just try to, you know, you handled this before, you can handle it again. Stay close to God. He may give you an insight and a revelation that you never had before, that you can do whatever you're facing better than ever before, and even in miraculous ways that others will recognize, hey, something different about that. You didn't do it that way before. And people will, again, recognize the hand of God in our lives. I'm going to close with Joshua 24. Next chapter, Joshua 24. I'm going to look at two verses, verse 14 and verse 15. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. If we want to have practical faith, that's faith for everyday living, that means every day we're going to serve the Lord and in sincerity and in truth. We're not going to pay lip service. We're not going to go through the motions. We're going to have an honest, sincere relationship with God. See, the difference between religion and relationship, religion is serving God insincerely. There's no sincerity there because they don't know him. So they go through the motions. They go through the pre-prepared motions, what their denomination or thing has taught them to do. But they don't actually serve God according to his will. He said, for example, that those that worship in spirit and in truth, he tells us worship in spirit and in truth. He seeks those. So we need to worship in spirit and in truth. That's an example, just a real quick example. Put away gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. So we're not going to look at all of the idols of the world. We're not going to look at the idols of our past. And it can be Hollywood idols, sports idols, corporate idols. It could be money itself. It could be a job, a position, a person that you want in your life. You know, any of these things that we idolize. We're going to put all the idols away. We're not so concerned with gods and goddess idols. You know, I don't think any of you have any things with Zeus at home, or you're not going to be serving Venus or any of that. But what they stood for. Venus was the erotic love. So we're gonna put away any pornography or any tendency toward that. So we put those gods away. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve. Some people think, you know, it's not good to serve God. Some people think it's just, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this. Or maybe when I just, you know, just before I pass away, then I'll accept Jesus. But in the meantime, I'm going to live my life. Listen, I was on the other side. I lived my life, and it was empty. I did what I wanted, anything I wanted, with nobody to tell me not to, and it was empty and unfulfilling. And I knew I needed more. I knew there was something missing in my life. And when I found Jesus, I found that contentment and that fulfillment. And I have never regretted putting away the things that I was doing. I never regretted flushing them down the toilet, throwing them in the trash. I've never regretted resisting the temptation or not following it, because he is everything. And he says, choose whom this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is the culminating scripture to practical faith. Every single day we choose, do we serve ourselves or serve the Lord? Do we serve our partner or serve the Lord? Do we serve our job or serve the Lord? Do we serve people, expectations of people, societal expectations, cultural expectations, or do we serve the Lord? Culture is giving us a number of different gods and goddesses to serve. And they're all idolatrous. And I'm not talking about physical statues. I'm talking about trends, concepts, ideas that even boggle the mind because of their idiocy. And yet people are serving them, bowing to them, accepting them. Who are we going to serve? As for me and my house, we serve God. Make that choice, make that decision at the beginning of every day, that you may walk in practical faith, and you will overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of his testimony and your testimony. You will overcome daily.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m., and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.